Greetings once again from St. Michael's Broadcast, and we continue with this great mission from heaven, as established in our time by the Great Mother of God. We refer, of course, to the prophecies and revelations of Our Lady, given to the late seer, Veronica of the Cross. From the years 1970 through 1995, she would be the recipient of over 300 powerful and enlightening messages, which we are dedicated to making known through this radio broadcast. Too often has Our Lady been looked at as some cutesy flower-like figure in the heavens to grace our thoughts and sweeten our affections. And this is not entirely false. She is most gracious and most sweet. But she is all-powerful with the Creator. She is the powerful mediatrix of this universe, through whom the Almighty is showing forth His right arm at this late hour in history. Her mission in these last days is to come forth and crush the head of Lucifer. And she is calling upon faithful and true apostles to assist her in this noble mission. As part of her design, she calls us to her holy grounds at Bayside in New York, where these visitations took place for 25 years, though we'd like to emphasize that the powerful and miraculous intercession of Our Lady at these holy grounds continues to this very day. We might see the holy grounds as an oasis where we come to refresh ourselves and sort of jumpstart our lives again, because we are living in a spiritual desert today that is being scorched by the heat of Satan. And this infernal blast has even come into the church and blown out all the incense and holiness of our spiritual past. We might say that the heavenly dew is being zapped or evaporated from our midst, so that the faithful today are burning up with temptation. They are wandering about with parched tongues, not knowing where to turn for guidance, only because the clergy too are being swept away by this infernal current. They too are on fire with humanism and modernism and all the various isms that have come to us through the Second Vatican Council. Our Lady said that Satan entered our church through the Vatican II Council back in the early mid-60s, echoing the famous statement of Pope Paul VI in 1972 when he stated to the world, "From some fissure, the smoke of Satan entered into the temple of God." And this is what accounts for the change of ordinance that has come about in the past 40 years, where silent prayer has given way to talking, sacred chant has given way to strumming, and sacred worship has given way to a new festive liturgy that caters to all the whims and fancies of the people. And there we see the clergy sitting back enjoying the show, as the people stand up and assert their new roles as lay leaders, women ministers, liturgy planners, music ministers, etc., etc. It's like spiritual anarchy or mob rule, where the people have taken the law into their own hands, with the clergy fueling the revolution on. They are the primary culprits in this scandal, because they are instigating the people to rebel against their own religious heritage. So the Bayside message has been a torch of censure that has burnt the pride of our dissident clergy and theologians. If they lash out and rebel against this message, it's because they rebel against the Catholic religion, just as the Pharisees lashed out against Christ. Today's liberal clergy and bishops are modern-day Pharisees. However, they should know that you cannot be modernist liberal and be Catholic at the same time, because Catholicism, by definition, is just that. Adherence to sacred apostolic tradition. There is no such thing as liberal Catholic or liberal Catholicism, because the Catholic religion is conservatism in itself. It teaches us to conserve or hold on to all that Christ left us through tradition. And because Bayside epitomizes the Church's tradition, it receives the brunt of this liberalist attack. And like the Pharisees, so it is with today's modernists, that they themselves are guilty of what they accuse our Lord's message of, saying it's illegitimate and not part of the Church. However, they should know that Bayside's legitimacy has been acknowledged by the best of theologians, including the late Father John Harden, who clearly stated that there is nothing in the Bayside message that is contrary to Catholic faith and morals. Anybody would tell you that. That's what the liberals don't like about the message. It might interest you to know that St. Michael's World Apostle recently published a letter showing forth Bayside's legitimate stand with the Church, and this was hand-delivered to the Pope through his undersecretary, as well as through four other reliable Vatican sources. We went to Rome last month and visited all the major congregations of the Vatican, who were also given this letter, and some of the officials were surprised and even a little bit indignant to learn that the Brooklyn Diocese had never conducted a canonical investigation of the Bayside apparitions. They were sympathetic with our concern over this negligence and assured us that they would do their part to try to make these concerns known to the Holy Father. It is true that in 1986, the Bishop of Brooklyn had issued a letter discouraging the Bayside apparitions, but this was not based on any kind of investigation, but was based on Bayside's staunch position on issues like communion in the hand and Eucharistic ministers. Though this wasn't actually mentioned in his statement, it clearly was the reason for it, as it was later revealed to us at our meeting with the Brooklyn Chancellor last year. However, this does not constitute a legal canonical investigation, but constitutes dereliction in duty, which some of the good fathers in Rome are beginning to acknowledge. Bayside's position on communion in hand only exonerates it, since Pope Paul VI had denounced this practice through an apostolic letter entitled Memoriale Domini that was sent to every bishop of the world in May of 1969, and it was only because of the rebellious bishops of Holland that this practice got started in a church against the orders of Pope Paul VI. It was born of disobedience. And of course, what is said here with regards to communion in the hand is true with virtually all of the changes since the Second Vatican Council. The way we see it, if there is something wrong with Bayside, then let it be determined through a canonical investigation. If the foes of Orthodoxy are so insistent that Bayside is wrong, well then why don't they make it official through an investigation? I would think it should be their duty. In the meantime, the faithful are at full liberty to carry on their belief and promotion of Bayside until that time when the Church steps in through an investigation and judges otherwise. This comes as a result of Pope Paul VI's abrogation of Articles of Canon Law 1399 and 2318 in March of 1966, which now dispenses the faithful from their obligation to wait for the formal approval of the Church before they can be involved with revelations or visions. The Church grants this liberty on the condition that faith and morals not be endangered. There can be nothing against Catholic doctrine in the message. For instance, if an alleged revelation denies or slights some article of faith and says, for example, the Transfiguration has come to us as a legend, or there is salvation through other religions, well then the whole thing is a bogus. But if it says that three-quarters of the human race will soon be annihilated because of its sins, well that doesn't mean it's wrong, that means it's right. The chastisement to mankind is coming, and heaven's objective is not to pacify us and suit our fancy, but to bring us an urgency from the next world and let us know that God the Father is about to intervene upon the world with a great warning and chastisement. Going on human strength alone, Bayside would have been squashed 35 years ago. But the fact that it has thrived so boldly in spite of the worst opposition is in itself proof that God is behind it. Like Fatima, Bayside will be approved, and like St. Bernadette, Veronica too will be raised to the altars of Holy Mother Church. We should also point out that Our Lady some years back had stated to Veronica that had the Bishop of Brooklyn conducted himself with truth and justice and investigated Veronica, she would have been required by God to desist from the work. But because the investigation was not done, she nor we are under any obligation to discontinue the work for heaven. So we continue as we have for 35 years to make this message known to the world. Now, one of the objectives of Our Lady in her message is that we bring back the Latin Tridentine Mass. In the message of July 1, 1985, Veronica says, quote, Jesus is not pleased with the manner in which his clergy are carrying out their vocations and also the Mass. Jesus wishes that the old Mass be returned to wipe out many of the errors that have crept in since the new Mass has started. On November 22, 1975, Jesus himself tells his priests, you must return to your traditional rites. You must restore my house from its crumbling exterior and rotting interior. You must rebuild what you seek to destroy now. We might note here that he doesn't say, get permission from your local bishop, or that he wants a Latin Mass said once a month in some hospital chapel, but that he wants it said everywhere in every parish and year-round, and he wants it done now. This has to be the rule for the entire Church, as it has already been established centuries ago. Even Pope Paul in his September 1965 encyclical stated, it cannot be tolerated that any individual should, on his own authority, modify the formulas used by the Council of Trent to propose the Eucharistic doctrine of belief. Very clearly, he says that we have to stick to the Mass of the Council of Trent. And so we certainly commend any efforts to keep the traditional Latin Mass alive in our midst, though we should be on our guard not to see this as an escape or a catacomb. To see it as a hideout promotes a timid, underground mentality which is entirely out of character with the Church militant. This is St. Michael's Broadcast, which is the one radio program designed to bring to you this urgent message of Jesus and Mary, as given in our time through the late seer, Veronica of the Cross. In light of recent publicity about the Sedevacantist movement, we thought it meet to put in our 10 cents here, just for the record. The word Sedevacantis in Latin signifies empty chair. This movement got started following the Second Vatican Council in retaliation to the reform of the Council. In a word, they maintain that a handful of evildoers led by Pope John XXIII came through some 43 years ago and blew out all the candles in the Church so that there has since existed no papacy, no priesthood, no sacraments, no church. Their major point is to state that the papal chair has been empty since the Second Vatican Council. Hence, they offer a false explanation as to what has happened to the church, and in fact they show themselves to have a rather shallow concern and perception into the situation. The truth of the matter is that the temple in our time has been profaned. Satan entered the church through the Vatican II Council, and is now using a fallen hierarchy of bishops to destroy the church, so that the wide body of the church today is adhering to a fallen body of bishops and priests, many of whom have betrayed their faith. But that doesn't mean that the sacraments they offer are invalid. They're still valid because of the fact that those are consecrated souls who have been empowered through the rite of ordination. The fact that their rites have been sullied does not invalidate the sacrament, as neither does the disposition of the priest's soul. With regards to the sacraments, Christ works through the priest's office. He does not work through his soul. The priest could be dead in sin. He could be a seducer or a Judas, but the sacrament is still valid in virtue of his divine office, as long as he goes through the motions, as it were. So this is a major point that is denied by the Sedevacantists. However, their major flaw is that they blame the recent popes for all these changes, not realizing that they had very little to do with the modern changes in the church. It is these liberal bishops who brought these changes to the church against the wishes and the orders of the Holy Fathers. The popes were basically innocent. Their major fault consisted in not putting down their foot hard enough against these liberals and heretics. Involvement with the Sedevacantists promotes indifferentism. Here we have Christ being crucified in his own church. He's being lynched in the midst of his enemies. And they just turn their back on him, close the door, and start their own little religion. And this is the very thing that Our Lady and our Lord does not want us to do. As she says, you do not abandon those whom you love. You don't just leave them hanging there. This is St. Michael's broadcast, and we're going to listen now to a recorded segment of the Sierra Veronica receiving the message from Jesus on September 14th, 1985. Again, Veronica at the vigils would be in a state of ecstasy in which she would see and describe the Blessed Virgin Mary and her Divine Son. At their direction, she would repeat out loud the message they would give her while her voice was being recorded. Now, what you're going to hear is Veronica's voice, but it is Jesus speaking through her. This is September 14th, 1985.
My child, this evening there is one more subject that must be resolved and dismissed quickly. All over your country and the world, there are groups forming that have alienated themselves from their hierarchy. I have asked you many times to not form another church. I have asked you to remain and suffer for all of the souls upon earth. Suffer even though you know that the Eternal Father watches what is going on. We do not want a schism. We do not wish that new churches be formed, though the meaning is well, they can lead to nothing but destruction and schism. We hear all names coming forward to our ears of churches being born anew, called the traditional Roman Catholic Church. My child and my children, we need no more traditionalists running around and creating new churches. We have to remain steadfast and firm in our convictions that with enough prayer and also the firm example of holiness among many, this will not happen. We do not condemn those who make these side churches, the traditional Roman Catholic churches. They mean well, but they are being led astray. There will be eventually an American Catholic Church if this continues. This is not approved by heaven. Man's judgment can always err, especially when he discounts the knowledge of the supernatural. Remember, my children, I have asked you to remain steadfast in your parish churches, even though it will be a crucifixion to you. We cannot have schism in the United States and Canada, for those who are united shall stand, and those who divide themselves shall fall.
The mission of Our Lady of the Roses at Bayside is to provide for your spiritual needs, and our catalog of religious gifts certainly reflects that. Of paramount importance is the brown scapular, which Our Lady has asked us all to wear in these dangerous times. You don't want to leave home without it. Our 100% wool Crusader scapular goes for only $2.95. And with that, you'll want to order your chain link wooden rosary made in Italy. Goes for only $6.95. And for an additional 95 cents, we can send you the St. Benedict Medal and Our Lady of the Roses Medal to complete your armor that you want to have on your person at all times. For your home, we provide you with the 2-inch wooden crucifix for your doors. Goes for only $1 each. For your listening edification, we have some inspiring audio cassettes and CDs that are bound to captivate you. Of particular interest is our 60-minute report on the great tsunami that devastated parts of Southeast Asia back on December 26, 2004. This includes startling predictions from Veronica 30 years ago and shows how this is a divine warning that must be heeded if we are to avert future disasters, and how this was an act of mercy to rescue the children from the evils of sexual abuse and slave labor so prevalent in Southeast Asia. This goes for only $4.95 CD, $3.95 audio cassette. For those wishing to learn more about our saintly seer, Veronica, you'll want to order our 70-minute tape entitled The Warmth and Humanity of Veronica of the Cross. In a moving dissertation, Michael Mangan focuses on the compassion and down-to-earth humanity of Veronica and how she had to earn her crown through personal struggle. Veronica's close worker and longtime friend, Mary de Blasio, provides an inside look into Veronica's personal character. This also includes a stirring homily from Father Robert Skirla, former International Blue Army chaplain, on the integrity of Veronica and the Bayside message. Also, this joyfully recounts the glories and supernatural wonders of the 34th anniversary of Bayside. Again, $4.95 CD, $3.95 audio cassette. And for a mere $9.95, we'll send you our Gloria Laus. This is a fine collection of Latin Gregorian chants sung by the talented Bauer sisters of the Cape Cod Scala Sancta Cecilia. Again, that's available on CD for $9.95, a real steal. For your reading edification, we carry the complete set of Heaven Speaks Today, which are illuminating prophecies and excerpts that are extracted from the Bayside message. Each issue of Heaven Speaks highlights a particular topic of Our Lady's message. The entire set of Heaven Speaks is only $1.50. Individual issues are only a dime each. You can't beat that. And to complete your spiritual reading, we carry the official Roman Catholic Bible. This is the Douay-Rheims version, which is the most accurate version of Holy Scripture in the English language. Normally, this would run you $50. It's yours today for only $34.95. This is something that no Christian home should be without. For our complete listing of religious gifts, visit us at www.smwa.org and shop online at our secure store. To order by telephone using your credit card, call 1-888-830-SMWA. That's 888-830-7692. And that number, by the way, is for credit card orders only. And if you call after hours, you can always leave your order on our voicemail. And of course, we invite you to write for the free information. You can send a letter to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361, or toll-free line 1-800-345-MARY. You're listening to St. Michael's Broadcast, and we're going to hear now from a very exemplary priest, Father Michael Burke, ordained in 1950, and he's going to share with us his thoughts and feelings about the Bayside message as he speaks with SMWA President Michael Mangan in a recent interview.
Hello, David, and to all of our listeners, and it's my pleasure to have with me, David, Father Michael Burke, who is now residing in Newfoundland, Canada. How are you doing, Father?
Just great, thank you.
And Father, what brings you to New York?
Well, actually, many years I've been here because I believed in the messages of Veronica. I've known about them since the early 1970s.
And you mentioned that you believe in the messages, and what has attracted you to the message? Why do you believe, Father, as a priest?
Well, I have really studied the messages, and I was very impressed especially by what she had to say about the Book of Revelation, Apocalypse. And I've studied that very carefully, all of her messages, and they all make sense to me. I really think we are well into the end times. And ever since 1943, I've had a special interest in studying private revelations, and none has drawn my attention more than this one. To me, it really has the ring of truth to it.
Absolutely, and as a priest and one who has been trained in theology and philosophy, obviously, I assume you found nothing that is not consistent with Catholic faith and morals.
Right. I found nothing whatsoever that contradicts everything I've studied as far as theology and scripture is concerned. everything is perfectly consistent with orthodoxy, traditional teaching of the church. I haven't found anything I could object to in her messages.
That's for sure, and I think that's good for the our listeners to hear for a priest. And how long have you been a priest, Father?
Since December the 17th, 1950.
Wow, so a priest for 55 years. So I think that's a nice consolation to know, to hear from a priest that recognizes the truth and the graces that are flowing from Our Lady of the Roses at Baeza. How do you reconcile as a man of the cloth, as a representative of Christ, with your faith in Bayside? As you know, the critics have said the bishop has issued a statement that if you go there, that you're disobedient and that you're not faithful and loyal. How do you reconcile that, Father?
Well, when a priest talks to me about Bayside in a negative way, I say, well, just write to the Chancery Office of the Bishop of Brooklyn and ask for a transcript, a copy of the investigation. You'll find that there never has been a truly conducted investigation. And that usually stops a priest, because he knows very well I would never make a statement like that if it wasn't true, because he could try the next day with a little faxing of his own, ask for it and receive it, but it just does not exist. I believe in the truth, and I've never yet heard anyone who was brave enough to consult the Bishop of Brooklyn and ask for a transcript of the investigation, because I know it just never took place. To me, that means a lot.
Absolutely. So Our Lady's shrine and her work has been victimized. This is a gross travesty of justice, Father.
Yes, I've always been a fighter for justice, and I know that most people across the country have believed what has been put in their Catholic newspapers, diocesan papers, messages sent out falsely from Brooklyn saying it had been properly investigated, and that's a downright lie. Lying is something I detest, and I've never found anything in the message of Veronica that were suspicious or incorrect in any way. I've always agreed with what she said.
So therefore, certainly anyone in good conscience can frequent the apparitions in the holy grounds of Our Lady of the Roses, join in the prayer and rosary vigils, and gather with people from out the world and offering up these prayers for the clergy and for the Pope and for peace in the world.
Absolutely. I've always enjoyed being able to come to the number of the vigils, and as I say, I hope to be able to return again with some good news next year.
I imagine too, Father, I think one of the central points in Our Lady's message is a return to holy tradition. I imagine that must have attracted you too, particularly that with so many of these changes today, we've seen the introduction of, it's really resulted in so many liturgical abuses and disrespect for the Holy Eucharist and just for the liturgy itself. So I imagine the message itself, which calls for a return to holy tradition, must have inspired you as well.
Yes, you see, I used to say the Tridentine Mass for 13 years, from 1950 to 1963. In my opinion, it's much more respectful than what we have at the moment. I do not like the Novus Ordo Mass. My first preference is still for returning to the Tridentine Mass. I still have my Roman Missal of 1962, Altar Church, and I'm looking forward to when I'll be able to start that again, too.
Absolutely, and I think these times that you have been here this morning during the Holy Hour, you've spoken to some of the pilgrims here, and their stories, their conversions must have impressed you as well. Because after all, one of the criteria for any genuine apparition is the good fruit. What does it produce? Is it good fruit? And you've heard and seen the people returning back to the faith and to Holy Mother Church, and that must have inspired you as well.
Yes, every time I come, I'm impressed, especially, of course, stressing the rosary, prayer and penance, all the traditional messages. Whenever Our Lady appears, she never asks for prayer alone. She asks for prayer and penance. Prayers for the soul part, penance for the body part, and we need both. And the message of Bayside brings that out. And this is what I try to preach myself in my own sermons on Our Lady and her message. And these are at the heart of our message at all times. Prayer and penance together. Faith and good works. Faith is expressed in prayer, good works in penance especially.
Your message, Father, to your peers, to your fellow priests and religious?
Well, my message to a priest is always check with the Chancery Office of Brooklyn and ask for a transcript of the so-called alleged investigation which never took place. And as far as a priest is concerned, I think that will be the most persuasive thing that you can recommend that he do.
And if he finds out that there is no written report signed by the chancellor or someone in authority, then he should come with an open heart and check it out like you have for 4 or 5 times.
Exactly. That's the first step, to find out it has not taken place, and then find out what she really has said. And then come to the apostolate, and they will give him all the literature that he wants.
I think, too, you mentioned about the latter days and the revelations and the apocalypse, and that's what we see unfolding right before our very eyes. The messages that Our Lady have given to Veronica back in the 70s, they're coming to pass right now, you know, 20, 25, 30 years later, and they're coming to pass, like that great tsunami that occurred the day after Christmas, in which over 300,000, or some sources say over 400,000 people perished. And these are tragic events, but they are chastisements. We have to acknowledge that. They are chastisements for sin. And this is what this is the message of Our Lady and Our Lord, that we don't return back to the observance of the Ten Commandments, to prayer, the rosary, bronze scapula, holy tradition, reverence for the Holy Eucharist. We can expect far greater chastisements in the future. What has struck you the most with your visitations to Our Lady's Holy Shrine here? The message is, what has struck you the most about Our Lady's appearances at Bayside?
Well, what strikes me the most is always the solid spirituality of the people. They're always trying for daily mass, communion as frequently as they can, saying the rosary, traditional beliefs, and none of this new theology. They're all absolutely orthodox and traditional, conservative in the best sense of the word. And these are the people I always meet and enjoy being with every time I come.
Oh, thank you very much, Father, and have a safe trip back to Newfoundland, Canada.
Thank you much. I hope to convert my pastor eventually, but it's taking a little time. So keep him in your prayers.
Godspeed, Father. We're with you all the way, and be assured of our love and prayers.
You are listening to St. Michael's Broadcast, and we thank you, Father Burke, for your beautiful testimony. And certainly he has to be among those 100 true priests mentioned by Our Lady in her message. She said, "Are there even 100 true priests left in my son's church?" Again, we'd invite you to write for the free messages and information. You can send your letters to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. That's St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. Our website, www.sm.wa.org.